Hello and welcome to another episode of the County Cricket Podcast in association with our friends at Bear Crickets. I'm your host, Aaron, aka the Cricket Connoisseur, and on my left for tonight's special episode of TCCP is none other than Nottinghamshire's comms intern, Mr. Matt Wiley. So Matt, first things first, mate, thank you very much for rejoining me here on the podcast. It is becoming quite the occasion here at TCCP for us two to discuss and analyse the 2022 County Championship. I have to ask, mate, how's your day been so far?
If I could put it into words for you, then I would. But to be honest, I'm struggling. Yeah, we are, of course, not talking about cricket. We're talking about football, aren't we? Yeah, still a bit shocked by what I've just seen. We're recording this at 6:30. Everything finished about an hour ago. It's all a bit mad. But no, away from various other bits and bobs, yes, it's been a good day. Thank you. Had a nice afternoon off from the cricket. Yeah, it's been a fun day, certainly a memorable one.
I think that's how I'd describe it, to be honest, memorable. For all the right reasons, to be honest, unless you're a Liverpool fan, of course. If you're a City fan, then even more memorable. But a great day of sports, not just in football, but in cricket as well. And, you know, it's been such an enjoyable round of County Championship action, as we'll discuss in today's show. It's just a lovely feeling, isn't it? You know, the sun's out, the weather's nice here in the UK. We've been treated to a great day, a great occasion across sports. What a wonderful time of year, to be honest. It really is a lovely day to record this episode of the podcast. And talking of the Championship, Matt, to be honest, I just want to get straight into today's show. I really do, because we were treated to some absolutely spectacular games over the course of these last 4 days. And what better place to start than down in the southwest, where Hampshire thrashed Somerset by 10 wickets at the Cooper Associates County Ground. Now, just to give this game some context, some backstory, Somerset won the toss and elected to have a bat first. This, however, seemed to backfire quite spectacularly. In the 54th over of their innings, the home side found themselves struggling immensely on a score of 113 for 6 due to some marvellous bowling from the likes of Kyle Abbott, he took 3 for 60, and Mohammed Abbas, who took 2 for 21. Now, in fairness, the likes of Craig Overton, Stephen Davis, Josh Davey did begin to put quite a valuable riposte, those three scoring totals of 44, 29 and 22 not out respectively. But even these little valuable contributions here and there from the middle to lower order were only enough to take Somerset to a total of 211 all out by the end of their first innings. Now, in response to this, Somerset again got a great start with the ball in hand, reducing Hampshire to 152 for 6 within the first 58 overs of their innings. But as was the case in Somerset's innings, the Hampshire tail also seemed to wag, as the likes of Keith Barker, James Fuller and Anirin Donald, the only player to score 50 in this entire game, produced some excellent contributions to see the visitors up to a total of 280 all outs. Now, that doesn't seem like a significant lead. 69 runs on a surface which, fair enough, was doing quite a bit in terms of the ball, in terms of swing as well, but it didn't seem enough for there to almost be an innings defeat for the home side. And yet Keith Barker bowled one of the most extraordinary spells that we will see in the 2022 County Championship. 6 for 27 from 13 overs. A spellbinding bit of cricket from the veteran all-rounder, as Somerset fell from 10 for none in the fifth over to a total of 69 all out, meaning that Hampshire required just one run for victory, which rather unsurprisingly was polished off within the first over of the run chase. Matt, before we get into Hampshire, we talk about the bowling attack because we do need to analyse them a lot further. Just a few words on the great Keith Hubert Douglas Barker. He never seems to get enough recognition. We're massive fans of him here at the County Cricket Podcast. How incredible was that spell of bowling from Keith in this game?
It was brilliant, wasn't it? It's just, you know, when you talk about never getting enough recognition, it's really chuffing it because the pair of us, we're complete cricket badges, aren't we? And to me, it seems like his name's always popping up on my Twitter feed. But you have to remember that two various, just, you know, passing fans, you just occasionally see his name pop up and it doesn't, you think, oh, he's a good player. But then, honestly, when you get into it, what he does on a weekly basis for his side, I mean, first for Warwickshire, you know, you'll know all about it, and now for Hampshire, you know, I've always rated him for his batting, his, you know, that ability to be that number 7, number 8, number nine, who just digs in, who just hangs around and shepherds the tail. But, you know, as we've seen, he's a really, really adept bowler as well. And it's that never say die attitude, isn't it? It's that really, really tenacious sort of, once he's got it, he's not letting it go. And I think that's what drives him almost, isn't it? That's what builds it. You know, he's got one wicket. Well, he needs two, he needs three, he needs four. And he just went on and he just kept going, didn't he? And he's, you know, he's big, he's built well. That's what drives it forward. You know, you've got this character in your team who will not just perform himself, but he'll raise the performance of everyone around him. And he's a really, really colossal actor. And again, he's one of those players that will perform brilliantly in the county game, but he's never getting an England call-up. So he's one that you can build around as well. He's got experience, he's got, yeah, aggression, tenacity, skill. He can bat, he can bowl, he can field. Yeah, he's got everything. And he's second only to Harry Cherington Brooke in the middle order names, in the middle names, in the middle name, the order of middle names as well, yeah.
I think that's up for debate, to be honest, Matt. I really do. I'd argue Hubert Douglas, the greatest combination of middle names, arguably.
Cherington, though. Cherington.
Very unique, don't get me wrong, but Keith Hubert Douglas Barker. And for those who saw our Twitter this week, I say our Twitter, I was the one writing these tweets, to be honest. I mentioned about a potential knighthood. So it would be Sir Keith Hubert Douglas Barker. That's a lovely ring to it. I'm just saying, it is the Platinum Jubilee. Part of the celebrations, I would not be against that at all. And maybe, who knows, a road or a statue of the great man as well in either Birmingham or Southampton. But talking of Keith, he is currently the leading wicket taker in Division 1 in 2022 with 27 wickets at 16.74. And if we just look at that Hampshire bowling attack, Mohammed Abbas, 26 wickets at 16.3. Kyle Abbott, 19 wickets at 25.1. And the other real key thing, because aside from those three, the trident, the spearheads of this Hampshire bowling attack, I think we also have to give tremendous credit to the likes of James Fuller. He's taken 11 wickets at 29.36. Ian Holland has chipped in with 6 wickets at 23.83. And you look at his economy rate, 2.64 runs and over. He's producing pressure. He's not allowing teams to build momentum and get into any rhythm whatsoever. In addition to that, you've got the likes of Liam Dawson. He's chipped in with 6 wickets at 33. And Felix Organ also has 5 wickets at 28.4. But aside from Hampshire's incredible bowling, and obviously Keith Barker, Kyle Abbott, Mohammed Abbas being the real spearheads of that, I suppose, just a few words on Somerset's batting now, Matt. And I'd love to know your answer to this question, really. Where do Somerset go from here? Because this keeps on happening. They're a really, really enigmatic side. In 2022, when they're properly in form, when the confidence is up, as we've seen on a couple of occasions this summer, Somerset really are a very, very difficult side to beat. But there's always that question about the batting. So in terms of these next few games, I know obviously we've got the T20 Blast block beforehand, but what way can you see Somerset potentially improving upon this massive Achilles heel, if there is any way of doing so?
It's back, isn't it? We thought it had gone away. We thought, oh, have they solved it? You know, one innings against Gloucestershire. I think one innings against Surrey as well. You know, 450 odd against Surrey. It's clearly, it's a really, really, what this tells us, it's a really, really deep-rooted problem, isn't it? It's not something that's just going to go away in the blink of an eye because, you know, if they'd solved it and it had carried on and they'd got 200-300 runs in each inning against Hampshire, then we're thinking, oh, they've solved it, you know, that's fine. But then it rears its head again, and then that is when it is a problem, you know, when it's chronic, it keeps coming back. So I do wonder, to be honest, if the T20 Blast has come just at the right time. You know, they're thinking if they had another red ball game now and it had reared its head again, then that is confidence crushing. But it is almost an opportunity to use a nice little cricketing phrase here. Let's white ball reset. And, you know, give them that opportunity to, you know, obviously in white ball, it's far more in favour of the batter. You know, you can't bowl down the leg side. There's no swing on the ball. It's much easier to hit. It's, you know, it's a good opportunity for the batters to go out there and, you know, state a claim, do a bit of confidence building, you know, hit a six, get that, you know, that oomph back about you. And that might be the answer. You know, let's see, to be honest, let's see how they get on. You know, I think a collapse is, obviously the potential for collapse is always there, but a collapse in white ball is often because of, you know, terrible shots or because of you're throwing it away. Whereas in red ball, you know, you can collapse because somebody's bowling brilliantly or because the ball's moving a lot, etc. So if we let them have that chance, let them have their striking, let them do what they need to do to rack up those big scores, and then they come back in the middle of June and see if that had the mental effect to then go on and put that into practice back in the red ball.
Well, we'll have to wait and see, won't we, Matt, to be honest. But it is a worry. It's a massive worry. And again, just to read out some of the batting averages for Somerset this season, bear in mind that 2022 has been a very, very high scoring summer. Tom Abel is averaging 50.1. Matt Renshaw's averaging 46.3. But then below that, Tom Banton, 29.5. Tom Lammerby, 27.9. James Hildreth, 25.6. Stephen Davis, 16.9. The batting has got to improve. I'm going to be completely honest. That was a really, really disappointing collapse. And yes, Keith Barker bowled absolutely beautifully. But the lack of fight, the lack of grit. We're going to talk about the likes of Kent and Warwickshire at length in today's show. Somerset just needed to really dig in, especially after that early pressure. And they didn't. They threw away the wickets at regular intervals and almost losing this game by an innings after conceding just 280 runs in the first innings. A really, really disappointing week, to say the least, down in the southwest. But moving on from the southwest then, Matt, let's move up to the northwest, where Essex beat Lancashire by an innings and 56 runs at Old Trafford. Now, this was quite a staggering performance from the 2019 champions. So Essex won the toss, elected to have a bat first in this game, which, again, appeared to have backfired somewhat. Sir Alistair Cook fell in the ninth over of the innings. But to the relief of the Southern County, Nick Brown, he scored 71, and Tom Wesley scored 30. Those two steadied the ship beautifully with a valuable 87-run second wicket partnership. And Matt, this is where I want to bring you in, to be honest, into the conversation about one player in particular, a certain Dan Lawrence. With that solid foundation set by the likes of Nick Brown and Tom Wesley, he just came out into the middle, had the freedom to express himself, and boy, did he do exactly that. 120 from 207 deliveries. I thought his temperament was absolutely phenomenal. The application was exemplary. And 12 boundaries as well. He's having no problems taking the attack to the Lancashire bowlers at each and every opportunity. In terms of Dan Lawrence, just how impressive was he in this game up at Old Trafford in round 7?
Very. And I think it shows almost the pressure involved in being involved in the international arena, doesn't it? You know, he's not in the latest England squad. He's almost been given free license to reset his own game, reset his mental state. You know, he knows that he's not going to be involved. So he's got, let's just go and impress. You know, that, to be honest, that we've heard about this in cricket before, haven't we? Where players almost go out with a bit of a mindset of just kind of, you know, we've got nothing to lose, let's have a go. And it often comes off, doesn't it? I mean, a favourite of mine is Darren Lehman. I think it's in 2001 or late 90s, early noughties, when Yorkshire have, I think they just won the One Day Cup, or they just won the Championship, and he's ready to go out to bat in the final of the One Day Cup, and he found some of last night's beer still in his helmet, and he's drank it and went out there and went, right, well, I'm absolutely hammered, I'm a bit hungover, let's just go. And I think he went and blasted, you know, a massive score, and Yorkshire won the game. So we've known it can happen for years, that sort of freedom and the ability to play how you want to play. Yeah, fair play, Dan Lawrence.
Fair play indeed, fair play indeed. It was a fantastic knock. It really was, and absolutely delighted for Dan, to say the least, after that hamstring injury. To come back like that does not get much better. So big up to Dan Lawrence. I thought that was absolutely sensational innings. And even after Dan Lawrence fell to the bowling of Luke Wood, in the 107th over, Shane Snater just came in and added the icing on top of the Essex cake in quite sensational fashion. He just bludgeoned 72 from 82 balls, 10 fours, 1 6. Honestly, when Shane Snater is in that kind of form, it's a bit like Grant Stewart for Kent, and their strike rates in this season's championship shows this. When the ball is finding the bats, they really are fantastic to watch, because you know they've only got one gear and that is 0 to 100. They are not going to dig in, take time at the crease. There's only one option, and that is that ball is going to the boundary. And that is exactly what Shane Snaiter did in this game, as Essex piled on 391 runs in their first innings. Now, in response to this, and I was looking on social media, first and foremost, for the reaction about how the Lancashire fans thought that their team would do. And a lot of people were saying, consistent bounce, it's a little bit of a road, it's nice and flat, let's try and get 400, 450 plus runs. And staggeringly, within 40.5 overs, the Red Rose were bowled out for just 103 runs. Now, that could have been an awful lot worse as well, had it not been for Phil Salt smashing a desperately required 44. Obviously, we're going to dissect Lancashire's performance. Not too much, because I think it's safe to say that this was just an off week for the Red Rose. With the bat in hand, I mean, we've seen them produce some excellent scores so far this summer. But a major reason behind this collapse was a certain Sam Cook. And I just wanted to read out some stats, if I may, not just from this season, but looking at the wider picture as well. So in 2022, Sam Cook, Essex's leading wicket taker so far, with 21 wickets at 18.57. Now, if we look at his overall first-class career, he's taken 183 wickets in 53 games, an average of 20.15. And in last year's County Championship, he was the third leading wicket taker with 58 wickets at 14.43. Now, as we all know, there's a lot of conversations at the moment in terms of England's long-term future, once the likes of Stuart Broad, Jimmy Anderson, maybe Chris Wokes later down the line. Once those guys retire, who is the next in line? Where is the line of succession for England's seam bowling options? In your opinion, Mats, is Sam Cook, aka Little Chef, in and around the mix?
Yeah, I think he has to be. I mean, what we're going to have to do, without a doubt, when those two do decide to retire, and whether they decide to retire together or whether Jimmy goes first and we end up maybe with a year, 18 months of somebody having to come in to partner Stuart Broad, we're going to have to think outside the box, because there's no immediate replacement, is there? I mean, I know maybe Sakib Mahmood, but he's not a seamer, is he? He relies on pace more than movement. Maybe Chris Wokes could fill that more sort of senior thing, but yeah, we're going to need long-term options, and I see absolutely no reason why not, because Old Trafford, you know, one of the quicker pitches in the game. You do need pace to extract a bit out of it. You know, often it can be quite easy and steady. And if you haven't got that extra yard of pace, you know, if you're bowling at sort of 82, 83 and there's not much movement, then it can be quite difficult for you. But he managed it, didn't he? I mean, that is worth its weight in gold, because the ability to trick a batter like that, and he's been doing it for years as well. You know, this is something that I'm quite keen to see. Just let county players get on with their job, let them do it over a number of seasons, and occasionally players can drop away. I mean, to be honest, maybe Jamie Porter is an example of a player who's slightly dropped off. He was almost touted as this, you know, spearhead of this Essex attack that was going to be called up to England within a couple of years, maybe, I think this is, what, 4 or 5 years ago. But he's been sort of superseded by Cook, hasn't he? So, yeah, to be honest, I see absolutely no reason why not.
Well, I'm glad we can agree on that, to be honest, Matt, because, yeah, I'm in the exact same camp, to be honest. I know one of the criticisms, and this isn't just for Sam Cook, but multiple England seam bowlers, they're all a bit one-paced. You know, if they're not bowling high 80s, early 90s, they're too slow. But the fact is, the guy's got so much talent. He's so disciplined with his line, his lengths. He knows exactly how to produce the goods on these wickets. Honestly, I do see a future in an England Test shirt for Little Cook. So fingers crossed, Essex fans will get the chance to see that one day and see it actually come to fruition. But just one more bowler, aside from Jamie Porter, actually, who, by the way, bowled very well in this game, took 4 wickets, causing all sorts of problems for the Lancashire batters. I think the real ominous one for the rest of Division 1 is the re-emergence of Simon Harmer, 5 for 89 from 41 overs in the second innings. He's got that 5 for under his belt. And as we all know, that's all that Simon Harmer requires. So by the height of summer, yeah, let's just say the warning signs are well and truly there for the rest of Division 1. He's put them on notice. And the alarm bells may be ringing heading into the rest of the summer. But Matt, aside from Essex and what was an incredibly impressive performance with both bat and ball in hand, as I said, I don't think we need to analyse it too much because this is a one-off performance. We're always going to see this happen in a county championship campaign. And unfortunately for Lancashire, it just so happens to be in this game. But in terms of setting it aside, in terms of putting it to the back of the memory, again, the T20 Blast has come at quite a nice time for Lancs here, hasn't it? Because it's a disappointing defeat. The momentum has slightly been lost, but now they've got a chance to refine that form in the Blast and then come back against Warwickshire in mid-June.
Yeah, they have. And that's, you know, they're definitely going to be among the strong teams in the Blast, aren't they? I mean, you look at their potential lineup and it's definitely going to be up at the top of the North Group. So, yeah, much like Somerset, it's an opportunity for them to take a breather from the Red Bull game. They've got in the position they're in. They're in still a good position. You know, it's very, very rare that anyone goes unbeaten through a season like that. So, you know, you lose one, yeah, you put it to the back of your mind, you move on. I mean, personally, I will be hoping that this is the start of a rest of season collapse. But no, it's come at a really good time. They've got an opportunity to go and win a few games of T20 cricket, come back, and yeah, and like you said, the game is against Warwickshire, isn't it? Which might be slightly unfortunate. But then again, maybe not. Maybe it is a season-long collapse and Warwickshire will do something. But no, we will see what happens. It's a good opportunity for them, definitely.
Absolutely. I think it has come at the right time. Obviously, a bitterly disappointing defeat, but again, it happens. And for Lancs, they've got that opportunity to have that refresh, that reset ahead of this white ball block. But then again, that is going to be a very, very tough challenge indeed, playing the defending champions away at Edgbaston. We shall have to wait and see. Fingers crossed for Lancs fans, this isn't the start of a trend in 2022. But talking of the defending champions, what a beautiful transition that is to talk about our next game, where the Bear and Ragged Staff played out a thrilling draw up at Headingley against Yorkshire. Now, in terms of how this game actually panned out, Warwickshire skipper Will Rhodes won the toss. The Bears elected to have a bat first in this game, and unfortunately could only put up 244 runs, with a large chunk of those being scored off the bats of a certain Michael Burgess, who scored a barnstorming 96 from 106 deliveries, 14 fours, 1 6. And if I may, Matt, I've just got to read out this guy's season stats. I really do, because they are absolutely staggering in 2022. So as of right now, at the end of the seventh round, Michael Burgess has scored 486 runs with an average of 69.42. That in itself is very impressive, but it goes a little bit beyond that, to be honest. He scored 14 sixes. It's the most in the entire division, and his strike rate of 81.27 is the third most in Division 1 so far. So what a performance. Great batting display. You could argue from a Warwickshire perspective it was usurped in the second innings by the likes of Sam Hain and Will Rhodes, but a great, great performance from the Warwickshire wicketkeeper batter. And again, long may it continue. It's great to see Michael Burgess in this scintillating form. But in response to Warwickshire's 244 all-out, Yorkshire piled on the runs and piled on the misery in quite fantastic fashion. And one man in particular who I have to give a tremendous mention to is a certain Adam Lyth. Now, Adam's not had the easiest of starts to the championship in 2022, but he scored his first-class century for Yorkshire since September 2021, racking up a magnificent 145 from 330 balls, which included 22 boundaries. Now, Matt, we saw the release of emotion. He let out that lovely cry, the roar, in front of his beloved Yorkshire fans on home soil. You could see how much it meant to him out in the middle. In terms of not just Adam Lyth's confidence, but in terms of Yorkshire as well, heading into the rest of this summer, just how pivotal of a knock may that prove to be for the White Rose?
Massive, massive. I love Adam Lyth. He's fantastic. He's been a fantastic servant to this club for so many years. I mean, more than a decade now, hasn't he? Yeah, he's been absolutely brilliant. And yeah, he's an all-format player. And a big part of his game, in fact, is establishing that dominance, especially in the white ball stuff, is establishing that dominance early on. You know, I know how much he likes to hit a boundary in the first over of a white ball stuff. Quite often it's a six as well, to just, you know, not so much as just lay that platform, but just get things going, you know, get things moving. And that is obviously the job of the opener in the white ball stuff. And that is that requires confidence. You know, it requires confidence to go out there and strike it big, you know, be prepared to unfurl that big shot straight off the bat, so to speak. So, yeah, hitting 145 in the Red Bull game at this point for him is massive. It's massive on a team level, not just in the Red Bull stuff, but moving into the White Bull stuff. It couldn't have come at a better time. And it's I'm delighted for him, genuinely I am. And I'm a lot more hopeful for him having a good White Bull season now.
Well, I don't want to sound too much like a certain Chris Eubank when I say this, but this knock really was stupendous. That's one of the ways in which I'll describe it. And again, to be honest, Mats, I completely share those sentiments. I'm really, really happy for him. Yes, it may have happened against my county, but Adam Live, as you mentioned, a consummate county professional, obviously used to play for England, and fortunately didn't quite work out for him, but he's always produced the goods for Yorkshire and has been a fantastic servant to that club. So big respect to Adam Live. And then we mentioned him earlier in terms of his middle name, a certain Harry Cherrington Brooke. Aside from having an incredible middle name, he's also quite the precocious talent, isn't he? Let's be honest, Matt. So far in 2022, he is the second leading run scorer in Division 1 with 840 runs, a 140 average, and a strike rate of 75.6. He's seeing the red ball like a beach ball out there at the moment, and he is in the England Test squad for the upcoming New Zealand series. So will we see him make his Test debut? Who knows? Who knows? And Matt, actually, I want to ask you this question. As a Yorkshire fan, would you bite the bullet? Would you play him? Given the form that he's in, given the fact that he has got a solid, compact Red Bull technique, if you were Brendan McCullum and Ben Stokes, would you give him the nod?
Yeah, absolutely I would. I mean, we've called him up, because so we rate him, aren't we? So what's the point in sticking him on the sideline carrying drinks? I mean, you know, yes, there is that element of a Yorkshire fan and the fact that he's such a good white ball batter as well, thinking, oh, why is he carrying drinks? Why is he not playing for, you know, we start the season, don't we? Or second game or something is against Lancashire. At Old Trafford. So it's like, you know, if he's not playing in that because he ends up carrying the drinks for England a week on Thursday, I'm not going to be best pleased. But no, absolutely I'd play him. He's, like you say, he's seeing it like a beach ball. He's in spectacular form. Why would we call him up to then just not play him? So, yeah, give the lad a shot.
And again, I imagine throughout the entire county of Yorkshire, that sentiment is being shared at the moment. Because he is in great form. I think, you know, when it comes to England batters, we have played players at the wrong times, haven't we? When they are out of form, when the rhythm isn't there, Harry Brooke is in the form of his life. Why not give him a go? Let's be honest as well. This series, we're not favourites against New Zealand. Why not give him a chance? That's what I would say if I was in Brendan McCullum's shoes. But again, only time will tell. Will we see him? We shall have to wait and see. But aside from that great batting performance from Yorkshire, they went on to register 449 all out in their first and what proved to be their only innings. Warwickshire got off to an absolutely appalling start to their second innings, falling to 25 for 3 within the first 13 overs of the innings. And I consult social media for this because I actually noticed that yesterday on Yorkshire's social media accounts, they mentioned that Yorkshire were closing in on a big victory against the defending champions on day 3. However, in a staggering twist, and to be honest, I'm still not over it, as a fan of Warwickshire County Cricket Club, that didn't prove to be the case, because Sam Hain and Will Rhodes spent the entirety of day 4 at the crease, racked up 227 runs for the fourth wicket, and saved the game. They saved the game. So for Sam Hain, he recorded his 13th first-class century for the Bears, 109 out from 332 balls. And then the captain, Will Rhodes, who last week was caught by Lewis McManus off the bowling of Jack White, it's still fresh in the memory, on 99 runs, this week finally reached the three figures for the 8th time in his career. He scored 111 not out from 297 balls. To those two, Sam Hain, Will Rhodes, take a bow. Take a bow on behalf of every fan of Warwickshire County Cricket Club. Words cannot express how proud we were of that batting display. Because I'm going to be completely honest, I woke up this morning and I fully expected to come onto this podcast and go, commiserations to the Bears, congratulations, Matt, for the win. and that did not prove to be the case, and that's made my weekend 10 times better. So a massive, massive thank you to those two for that incredible, incredible partnership. But Matt, let's be honest, a great game of cricket, a great advert for the county championship on that final day. But I suppose from a Yorkshire perspective, I'm guessing you are a little bit underwhelmed with that bowling display on day four.
A little bit, yeah. I mean, yes, first thing first, it absolutely was a brilliant advert for county championship. But again, this keeps happening for Yorkshire, doesn't it? We get ourselves into good position going into the final day, and then we just can't quite finish it off. And we finished it off against Gloucestershire. But then kind of since then, you know, we've drawn games that we should have won. And frankly, you know, we've also drawn games that we should have lost. It balances at Sri Lancashire last week. It does balance itself out, don't get me wrong. But yeah, this has happened on a couple of occasions. Northants as well was another example of this. And I think, you know, you can put it down to one thing in particular. The bowlers, we've got no bowlers. Jordan Thompson is not an opening bowler. He's a very good bowler. He's a good, solid all-rounder. Personally, I think he's a better bowler than he is a batter, certainly in the red ball still. But I think, you know, he's not an opening bowler, is he? So it's really, really difficult because, they're all injured. It's not like we haven't signed anyone or we've mucked up our recruitment. But it is a difficult situation to be in at the moment, and it is costing us games. It's meaning we can't finish teams off and bowl teams out. And, you know, we were never going to win the league, put it that way. It will be Surrey, hopefully it won't be Lancashire. I wouldn't mind seeing Hampshire, et cetera, et cetera. But it does feel, like you say, underwhelming. It feels like we could be higher than we are. But, you know, put it to the back of our minds and we've got a few good players coming in for the blast, and let's see how we're doing that. But this one, yeah, this first block has just felt that little bit, that's a bit of a shame.
Well, to be honest, Matt, I think a lot of Warwickshire fans would be in the same boat. It has been a very strange start to the summer, to be honest, for Warwickshire, because we've won one game, lost a game, and drawn four, but the draws haven't been massively convincing. It's required some mammoth stands in the fourth innings. And considering we are the defending champions, it has been a very, very disappointing start to the summer results-wise. But the key thing for both of these counties, for a county like Lancashire, for Essex as well, they're in the mix. When you think about it, all it might take is a couple of wins. And all of a sudden, in a division which is so competitive, as Division 1 is in 2022... who knows? Things can happen. It's a very, very strange game. It's the wonderful sport of cricket. But again, I think both sides will take that performance. I think that Warwickshire will be a lot happier with the results. But again, we'll get onto the tables in due course. If you look at where these two teams are positioned, they're not exactly out of the hunt. So maybe both sides will probably take that. And at least they got to watch the football as well in the evening session. So silver linings, as they say. But moving on then, from that game up at Headingley, let's go to the East Midlands for our fourth and final game from Division 1 this week, where Northamptonshire and Kent played out a high-scoring draw at Wantage Road. And we've already had this England conversation on many an occasion here at the County Cricket Podcast, and as we all know as England fans, there's always that debate, the great conversation, the great discourse about opening batting options. Matt, we haven't really mentioned this so far, but Ben Compton, there's a lot of talk now, isn't there, on social media, in the written media as well, about a potential England call-up for the Kent opener. Now, again, we love our stats here on the County Cricket Podcast. This week, he went and scored 140, a career best, and he is the leading run scorer in Division 1 so far with 878 runs, an average of 109.75, and he scored four centuries and four half centuries. I know it's very, very early days in his first-class career, but he's averaging over 100 in the county championship. He was the leading run scorer in the second 11 championship in 2021 for Nottinghamshire. Maybe not right now, but let's say he does have an outstanding season. Let's say he gets over 1,500 runs by the end of 2022, and he's knocking that door down. If there is a place for Ben Compton, given the temperaments, given the patience, the doggedness, the determination with which he bats, do you see a potential England future? I know it's very early days, but do you think there is some potential and some talent waiting to be unlocked in the form of Ben Compton?
yeah, this is a tough one, isn't it? The talent's definitely there, but and I don't know. To be honest, I can't think of any real reason for this. There's certainly no, you know, like numbers reason. No genuine reason for this. But he doesn't feel like an England player. He doesn't. He's very gritty. He's very digging, and you know, he's very playable, isn't he? And he grinds his way to scores, and that can be beneficial. But for me, if you want to be an England player, you've got to play in the Championship. You've got to play with a bit of free flowing. You've got to be able to score aggressively as well. And I think that if you want to play for England, you've got to be able to dominate attack. And maybe he doesn't throw his wicket away, which, to be honest, I suppose for England is beneficial. That's what we need. We need more of that. We need more of the ability to not throw our wickets away. But I don't know. I just think I need to see a bit more panache from him, a little bit more ability to take the fight to bowlers. And I don't know. I can tell you're looking at me a bit funny. Maybe I'm sort of playing a little bit. What I would say, actually, is the fact that he bats like this means he's unlikely to be a part of Brendan McCullum's England, doesn't it? Let's be honest about that. You know, Brendan McCullum's going to call up players that will take the fight to the opposition attack. But yeah, I just think I want somebody like Harry Brook for me, somebody like Ben Duckett for me, who can really score quickly. And I just want to see a bit more of that from Ben Compton before I'd consider him in the England conversation.
Well, in fairness, this is coming from someone who loves old school batters. So the likes of Chiteshwar Pujara, the likes of Dom Sibley, Haseeb Ahmed as well. I'm not sure I can agree with that point, Matt. The fact that you have to dominate county attacks. Obviously, there's different ways of dominating. And I think time at the crease is another way. You know, you're putting overs into those bowlers' legs. And considering that the likes of Dom Sibley and Haseeb Ahmed have played for England in Test cricket in the last year, Ben Compton has actually scored at a better strike rate than them. He has a career strike of 43. In this year, he's striking at 41 in the Championship. Every single year, we just seem to cry out for someone who's going to bat time, don't we? In particular, since the retirement of Sir Alistair Cook. And personally speaking, I do think it's a bit too early because we're, what, 6 games into the season. Basically, for Kent, very early days. I know he did have an impressive Logan Cup as well in Zimbabwe. But if he does keep this up, there's going to be a point where you just can't ignore him. And if he does keep this up and he keeps it up on a consistent basis, he keeps on racking up these tons. He's scored 4 centuries already. Zach Crawley, in his entire Kent first-class career, has only scored 4 centuries. Ben Compton's done that in the first 6 games. So, again, we shall have to wait and see. Maybe it is just my bias of those old-school, real over-my-dead-body style openers, but again, if he keeps it up, I do potentially see him being in and around the conversation. Whether or not he gets in, we don't know. That's up to the selectors. That's, again, up to Brendan McCullum, as you said. He might not be his style of opener, but personally speaking, I like what I've seen from Ben Compton, and technically wise and temperament wise, very, very impressed indeed. But talking to Zach Crawley, actually, because he's been in for a lot of criticism so far for his slow start to the summer, in this game, he was excellent. He scored 62 and 84, respectively, across the 2 innings. And again, you talk about players who dominate county attacks. Zach did exactly that this week. Very free-flowing, very fluent in his approach, scoring boundaries for fun. Fingers crossed, that puts him in good stead for the New Zealand series, because we are going to need top-order runs against the Black Caps. That is an absolute must if England are to compete in this upcoming Test series. And just one final thing about Kent for this week as well, Matt. Finally, we're 7 shows in. For the first time in 2022, Kent did not concede 500 runs in the first innings. And I can hear the celebrations already in Tunbridge Wells and Canterbury and Margate. I can hear them from here in the Midlands, because Kent finally didn't concede 500 runs in the first innings. Instead, they only conceded 430. But one player in particular, Darren Stevens, just had to give the GOAT a bit of a mention. He was absolutely exceptional in this game. 2 for 54 from 30 overs, 13 maidens. Brilliant. Love to see it. And his average is now below 100 in this year's Championship. So big up to Darren Stevens. But aside from Kent, Matt, Just a few words on North Ants. Again, another draw for the East Midlands County in 2022. They are being competitive, but they're struggling to finish off games. Just one thing that I did mention, and I've mentioned this for quite a few shows now, regular contributions throughout the order. And this week, that is exactly what the home side got. They got 71 from the captain, Vasconcelos. Luke Proctor, yet again, so impressive in Red Bull cricket so far this summer. He scored 76. Rob Keogh scored 45. Josh Cobb scored 41. McManus scored 58 not out. Ben Sanderson, from absolutely nowhere, batting at number 11, scored 33. If North Ants are going to stay in Division 1, this is exactly what they need, isn't it, Matt? Regular contributions throughout the order, keeping other teams in check, and producing big totals. That's the only way that they're going to stay up, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, absolutely. I mean, this one was always likely to be a draw, wasn't it? You went up with two sides going up against each other who can bat, but neither can really finish off a game with the ball in hand. So, yeah, I think a draw suits them both. You know, it's like you said, you know, Kent finally managing to bowl a team out for less than 500. But yeah, you're right with Northamptonshire. It's just a case of everyone has to chip in, and that's important in keeping that team spirit strong. Because if they are going to be engaged in a relegation battle, then you have to keep the dressing room happy. You have to keep you have to keep the team together and to keep the team spirit strong. And obviously, a big part of that in cricket as well. I mean, of course, you get this in football. Everybody has to perform, but it's much easier to show individual. It's much easier to rate individual performances in cricket, isn't it? Because it's sat right in front of you. You know, you see, oh, how did this man do? Oh, this man got X amount of runs, which was X percentage of X team's total, which is exactly what you need. And as long as everybody is contributing, everybody's happy that everyone else is contributing, and they're working for each other, then even if they are engaged in that battle, they'll always have the upper hand because they're a strong unit. And I know that Jason Gillespie used to say this at York. I mean, you know, don't get me wrong, I'm not gonna brag about it or anything, but we were at the opposite end of the table under Jason Gillespie, but he always used to put this in his tweets. He'd always say, strong unit, that is the foundation of anything in any sport. And if Northamptonshire have got that, then they're already halfway there to survival in my book.
Absolutely. And yes, we'll talk about that in a second, actually, with the table. Because, yeah, North Ants are doing actually quite well. Again, they're in and around the mix. We mentioned this so many times. It's all about remaining competitive. That's what Division 1 is all going to come down to at the end of the day. It's just about being within touching distance of the team above you. So, North Ants, I actually think it's been a decent start to the summer. And Luke Proctor has just been a massive reason for that. I just wanted to give him a huge shout out, to be honest. 432 runs in 5 matches, average of 108, 2 centuries, 250 plus scores. It's been a really good start to the summer for Luke Proctor, so just had to give him a mention before we move on from Division 1. But before we do move on to the Division 2 games from Round 7, we do of course have to look at the Division 1 table. And at the end of the 7th round, before we go into our block of T20 Blast matches, at the top, the summit a Division 1, a Surrey County Cricket Club on 105 points. In second, after that incredible 10-wicket victory down in Taunton, Hampshire are now second on 102 points. 3 points separate the top two. I can already feel the nerves, and we're only 6 games in to the 2022 LV County Championship. Then in third, we have Yorkshire on 90 points. In fourth, we have Lancashire on 87 points. In fifth, we have Essex on 76 points. In sixth are the defending champions, Warwickshire, on 73 points. In seventh are Northamptonshire on 66 points. In eighth are Somerset on 60 points. In ninth are Kent on 53 points. And in 10th and bottom place, and to be honest, struggling in Division 1 so far this summer, are Gloucestershire on 35 points. So 6 games in. 7 rounds of matches, Division 1. We knew it was going to shape up like this, but it really does have all of the hallmarks of a fantastic and an engrossing summer, to say the very least, in this division. I cannot wait to see how the rest of this campaign pans out, to be honest. It's going to be absolutely superb to watch for us as the fans. But moving on from Division 1 then, Matt, let's go to Division 2. And because we spoke about this game at length last week, we did a little bit of a preview. Actually, us two talking about this, considering that you were going to be at the game. Let's talk about the East Midlands Derby, where Nottinghamshire beat East Midlands rivals Derbyshire by 10 wickets at Trent Bridge. So, Matt, take it away, mates, as our resident Nottinghamshire expert. What did you make of this game, and in particular, the performance of a certain Haseeb Hameed?
Yeah, this was a fun one to be involved in. I mean, you know, chatting to the Derbyshire guys that were in the press box. They were saying, ultimately, I think it will be a valiant defeat. One of them said. I think they said this yesterday or Friday. But the key word there for me is valiant. You know, this is Mickey Arthur. This was the latest example of what Mickey Arthur's turned them into. You know, last season, they were rolled over by Nottinghamshire. You know, they were beaten by an innings inside 3 days. They just didn't perform, or if they did perform, then their ability just wasn't there. But this time, you know, he's given them that belief. He's given them that grit back. And you know, Nottinghamshire had to work hard for this one. Yes, it was 10 wickets, but I think 10 wickets flattered Nottinghamshire a little bit. You know, yes, that this morning that chase was, you know, superb, and like you said, it was a valiant defeat in the end. But yeah, I think it could easily have been, you know, a 4 or 5 wicket defeat, and suddenly you're thinking that's a much closer game than it would otherwise have been. And again, yeah, that is the Mickey Arthur effect. On the subject of that chase this morning, yeah, Haseeb Hameed, I mean, he hit 2 sixes as well this morning. I almost fell off my chair. I mean, he's brilliant. Don't get me wrong. He's brilliant. He's a brilliant batter, but he's not that sort of fellow, is he? He made an appearance in Nottinghamshire's 2020 advert as well, the video advert, the cricketing artistry one. And I was thinking, yeah, I don't think we'll be seeing him in an Outlaws top this summer. You know, we'll see him in the One Day Cup, but I'm not so sure we'll see him in the T20. But after today, I mean, who knows? Just lofting 2 straight sixes gently over the ropes. Fantastic. He was asked about England in the post-match. Post-match, of course, you know, like everything else in life, he handled it with a very straight bat. It's got to be on his mind. Of course it has. I mean, I think we obviously, when we ask him, we stick to what's gone on in the game, and we stick to Nottinghamshire, of course we do. But I think if you asked him, he would probably be lying if it wasn't in his mind, if he wasn't considering it. And frankly, I'd love him to get called up again. It would be, you know, he's just got to nail it down, hasn't he? But, you know, it's that form. But yeah, he's led Nottinghamshire to a brilliant win there. There were contributions all round, especially from the bowlers. I mean, that first day as well, where everybody chipped in, and then again, second innings, Stuart Broad getting rid of Shan Massoud, just a game changer. Was it out? Make your own mind up. But you know, it was a game changer regardless. What I will say is there was an LBW guy against Brooke Guest, I think it was, in about 5 overs later, that wasn't given and absolutely was out. So the world even job. That was a massive moment. And yeah, the fact that Derbyshire took it to 4 days, and the fact they made a fight of it, and it's promising. It's really promising. They're still a long way behind, of course they are, but they started so far behind, and they are, you know, yeah, they're catching up. That's their first defeat this summer against a really, really strong Nottinghamshire team. When it takes a team of this calibre to beat them, you know that you're improving, and the signs are there. But no, it's a good one for Nottinghamshire as well. Second, going into the white ball stuff. I think, to be honest, weirdly, it's a good result. Well, you know, there's really, really promising things to take from this game for both teams.
Well, they most certainly are, to be honest, Matt. And I'll talk about Derbyshire in a second, because I'm glad you mentioned about Haseeb Hameed hitting sixes. I was very surprised, to be honest, seeing those two shots on the stream, because I was like, hang on, that's Haseeb doing that. I thought it was Ben Slater at first. It wasn't Ben Slater. It was Haseeb going aerial and going massive for 6. In his first-class career, up until this point, before this innings, he'd only ever scored 10 sixes. So he's improved that by 20% in one innings. He's now got 12. So shout out to Haseeb. I thought him and Ben Slater absolutely fantastic in that second innings. A clinical run chase, to say the least, and a very good performance from this Nottinghamshire outfit. But then again, on the flip side, yes, it's disappointing for Derbyshire. And I've got to be honest, Matt, I've seen that dismissal of Shan Masood on about 5-6 occasions now, at least in my view. And I don't claim to be an umpire. That looked well outside the line. I'm not sure how that was given, but that is just my unprofessional opinion taking place.
I've got to be honest, what I would say is, given Stuart Broad's celebration, I don't think it was plum enough for a celeb appeal.
No.
Definitely wasn't plum enough for that.
No.
Yeah, you know, that's the way it falls, isn't it, sometimes?
Well, it is. It is. And it's unfortunate for Shan Masood because he's had an outstanding start to the championship. Unfortunately, we didn't have a player reach 1,000 runs by the end of May. Shan Masood stranded on 844 runs and averaging 93.77, 300s, 350s. A great start to life at Derbyshire, to say the least, for the Pakistani opener. But I think something which really stood out to me, aside from the nature of the defeat, I suppose, for Derbyshire, was actually Mickey Arthur's post-match conference, or his little interview that he did, because he sounded absolutely gutted. And that, to me, is great to hear, because it's a disappointing result. But in that post-game interview, he mentioned that he didn't want Derbyshire to be a team which turns up at games, and it's not only tough to beat, he wants them to win games. He wanted a win out of this. He did not want to see his team roll over. Now, unfortunately, in that second innings, as a result of that incredible opening partnership, I suppose that did unfortunately come to fruition for Derbyshire. Up until that point, they showed a lot of fight, they showed a lot of grit, they showed a lot of character. And two players, who I must say have been very impressive for me personally, are Sam Connors and Nick Potts. Both of them obviously part and parcel of that Derbyshire Academy system. We talk about people sometimes saying, well, Derbyshire don't produce any players. Sam Connors so far this season is the third leading wicket taker in Division 2 with 25 wickets. So he's doing a very, very good job. Nick Potts as well has had a great start to the summer. There are positives to be taken away from this game. Yes, the end result is disappointing. But at the same time, it's all about the process. It's all about this long-term project for Derbyshire. And again, it's disappointing. Use that disappointment as fuel for the next East Midlands derby. Come back and who knows, they might win. We shall have to wait and see. Only time will tell. But a great win for Notts, a statement victory yet again for the East Midlands County. And it does have to be said, they do look very, very strong promotion contenders indeed, if not favourites, for the title itself. But moving on from Trent Bridge then, Matt, let's go down to the home of cricket, where the current table toppers Middlesex beat Durham by 6 wickets at their home ground. Now, Middlesex won the toss and elected to have a bowl first in this game. And surprisingly, and I do say surprisingly, this looked to have backfired slightly. We all know the seam conducive nature of Lords. We know how important new ball breakthroughs are. And yet Alex Lees, he scored 44, Michael Jones completely stunted that Middlesex bowling attack for the first few overs. In fact, they put on an 81-run opening stand. But as is usually the case with Middlesex, they came back incredibly strong, got a lot of quick wickets, and if not for Liam Travaskis scoring a brilliant 80-not out from 156 deliveries, Durham definitely could have got out for a lot less than 350 runs in their first innings. But in terms of the bat in hand, Matt, and this was always going to be the big question, wasn't it, with Middlesex? We know the quality, the calibre of that seam attack in particular down at the home of cricket. But let's for 1 second focus instead on the batters. And first and foremost, Sam Robson, 84 from 160 balls. Outstanding yet again. Mark Stoneman, his partner in crime at the top of the order, scoring 41. Max Holden, great to see him back in the runs. He scored 71. Then he had John Simpson, Luke Holman and Martin Anderson chipping in with scores of 41, 41 and 62 respectively, as the Saxes put on 422 runs in their first innings. Matt, just a few words on Middlesex's batting, because this was the big question. It was the million-dollar question, in fact, heading into this season. Was that batting unit strong enough? And yet so far this summer, they've scored 20 batting bonus points. It's incredibly promising from a Middlesex perspective, isn't it, so far in this year's championship?
Yeah, it really is. They've got, you know, they've got two excellent quality openers in Mark Doman and Sam Robson, like you said. And they're I suppose the top order outside of that, you could maybe consider a little bit. I'm not so sure. I mean, Max Holden is promising, but, you know, I mean, yes, there was a good performance there. But I'm not maybe less. I don't know. It's just it's got to be consistent now. Essentially, the promise is definitely there, but he's just got to find that form and make sure that he's continuing that run of scores. But you know, Josh DeKerr again, he's another one we promised, but he's not really got any scores to build on as of yet, has he? There were legitimate questions. I can definitely understand why those questions were being asked, but yeah, they've belied that, haven't they? The 400, you know, maximum batting point, that takes a lot of doing, especially at Lords, where it's potentially a little bit tricky. Yes, you know, there was a short boundary, and they were playing right on the opposite side of the square, to the left, if you looked at it from the media centre. But yeah, it's a tough thing to do at Lords. It is to bat big and bat long, and I think they've answered those questions, haven't they? You know, to top the table going into this, yes, and I think it was not Middlesex and Durham were among the three. You know, if we were thinking, name the three teams that are going into those two promotion spots, it would be those three. But you know, to be top table toppers, to be ahead of Notts as well. I mean, you know, I think by this period, I think most people would have thought that Notts would have absolutely stamped their authority on it, and looks like that kind of that defeat to Glamorgan is costing them a little bit in terms of not being able to do that just yet. But yeah, Middlesex, fair play. They've gone, they've got that score. That is something that they've repeatedly done, and they've put themselves in a top class position.
Well, they most certainly have, Matt. They really have, in fact. You can't really have been in a better position heading into the T20s. Really, I mean, if you're a Middlesex fan, you're in dreamland at the moment. It's been a fantastic start to the summer. Currently unbeaten, 4 wins, 2 draws, no losses. It's been an absolutely sensational start to the summer for the London-based side. However, if we're looking at their opposition, Durham, a side which before the season we expected massive things from, given the quality of that seam attack and some of the batting options with the likes of Ben Stokes, David Beddingham, Alex Lee, Scott Borthwick, to name but a few. Things haven't quite clicked. And I think the second innings in this game was almost a reflection of where Durham have been so far this summer. Because they got off to a really bad start. They lost Jones, Lees and Peterson within the first 6 overs as a result of some magnificent bowling from Toby Rowland-Jones, who we will get onto in a minute. He was absolutely sensational. They appeared to have dug their way back into the game. They looked like they had a foothold. They looked as though they were going to come back, and there was almost this resurgence with the likes of Scott Borthwick and Matt Salisbury putting on a 93-1 partnership. But then as soon as Borthwick fell, everything collapsed. And 188 all out, after scoring 350 in the first innings, you've got wickets in hand on the final day. You've got a chance to see out this game. I think Durham will be bitterly, bitterly disappointed with this result. 6-wicket loss. Obviously, Middlesex, a very strong side. But on paper, Durham should be up there. They should be competing along with the likes of Nottinghamshire and Middlesex. And so far in 2022, that just has not been the case. Now, fair enough, they were without Matt Potts in this game. They were without the talisman. He was rested. But it's just been underwhelming, hasn't it, so far this summer, Matt? What are your thoughts on Durham's performances so far in Division 2?
Well, first thing, actually, just on that very last thing that you said there, it was surprising to see Matt Potts rested. I don't know if he was maybe nursing a niggle that he picked up or a knock or something that he picked up there. But, you know, this was an ideal opportunity for him to bowl at Lords and stake his claim for that first test, wasn't he? So unless he was injured, you would have thought he desperately wanted to play. He would have desperately wanted to play anyway, but with the added excitement of this one being at Lords. But yeah, it's not quite clicked, has it? I mean, we've seen teams for whom it has clicked, i.e. Derbyshire, you know, unbeaten up to this point. Middlesex, it's clicked for them, despite a few legit questions heading into the season. Yeah, Durham's the opposite, isn't it? They were touted as, you know, I think if you looked at the favourites to go up, it probably was Notts in Durham. And that seam attack has just not really fallen for them, has it? It's a little bit I'm not really sure what's gone wrong for them, to be honest. It's a pity, because for pretty much the last 5 years, bar the bin five that was 2020, I've wanted them to get out of that. You know, I've wanted to see them get out of Division Two, and you know they were, you know, let's not get started on why they're there in the first place. But yeah, we wanted to see them get out there, and it's a pity. Everybody thought this could be the one, and no, they're going to have to improve quite a bit heading into the Midsummer Games. And I mean, to be honest as well, the Midsummer Games could be an interesting one, because if anything, the seam bowling attack is what's driving them forward, and they could, you know, if they were going to fall away, if they were going to flatter TDC a little bit, then it would have been in the Midsummer where they would have done so, because the seam bowlers would have done the thing on the April pitches. And obviously, as it turned out, it's almost part of that wider thing where the scores have been much higher than anybody would have expected, and the weather's been a little bit better as well. You know, I think Chris Rushworth would have probably preferred a few more clouds than the quite, you know, quite pleasant sunshine that we've seen. But yeah, where they go from here, that's a job for Franklin and his and Marcus North to sort out, for sure.
Well, it most certainly is, Matt, to be honest. And you mentioned those Midsummer Games. It's not going to get any easier, because they'll be missing the likes of Ben Stokes, Matt Potts now, Alex Lees as well, Keegan Peterson. Is obviously going to go away to play England in that South Africa series. Yeah, pretty rough times, to be honest, up in the North East from a cricketing perspective, at least in the county championship. Fingers crossed they can put in some better performances as the season does get a little bit more underway.
Nice little note about from a cricketing perspective after what happened yesterday. Yeah, good point. They're happy in other ways, aren't they?
Absolutely, yeah. Congratulations to Sunderland as well. I think a lot of people, myself included, are very, very happy to see them back in the championship. But talking to someone else I'm very happy to see before we talk about the Worcestershire-Leicestershire game, Toby Rowland-Jones back in the form of his life. It's absolutely wonderful to see for any county cricket fan, obviously synonymous with this competition ever since that hat-trick in 2016. 30 wickets in 5 matches, an average of 17.3 and a 38.5 bowling strike rate, 4 for 72 and then 6 for 35 in the second innings. He was unstoppable. And again, I do feel so bad for Toby, because he had that England spell. He did have a stint in Test cricket, and he didn't do badly either. Took 17 wickets at 19.64 for the 3 Lions and a crown. But injuries just derailed it, didn't they? And it is unfortunate. I don't think we're going to see TRJ back in an England shirt, but for Middlesex fans, what a fantastic bonus it is to see him back in the wickets with the confidence back. Long may the summer of Toby Rowland-Jones continue. That's all I'll say. But Matt, moving on from that game then, at the home of cricket, let's move on to our seventh and final game of the seventh round, which saw Worcestershire annihilate Leicestershire by an innings and 259 runs within just 3 days at New Road. And we have to talk about the toss. Leicestershire winning the toss, selecting to have a bat first, skittled for 148 runs within 52.2 overs. I don't think the word disappointing covers it, to be honest, does it, Matt?
It doesn't, no. It's really, really tough, isn't it? I can understand why they did it, you know, given New Road's reputation. Obviously, I haven't seen the pitch myself, but you can imagine that it was a typical flat one. But yeah, it's really, really tough, isn't it? I think the major issue that's afflicting Leicestershire is the quality just isn't there, is it? They're struggling in all departments. You know, they were done as soon as that was 148 all out. They were done again when Worcestershire declared 300 and 400 ahead. And yeah, it's a really tough time. It's a pity, because I say the ability isn't there, the talent is there, it's just not coming out, is it? I mean, Lewis Hill must be possibly getting a little bit fed up of having to carry them, really. I mean, you know, he got 50, didn't he? And came close to second highest score in the first innings. He did a lot of it last year as well. But yeah, Leicestershire are going to have to. It seems so harsh to say, but one thing I would say as well is they haven't been competitive in this format for quite a number of years, have they? And they've always made a thing to prioritise the white ball stuff, which is what they're going into now. And again, we've talked, you know, I've mentioned this on a couple of occasions. It could be a big confidence booster that they need. But yeah, I think they might just have to consign this Red Bull and maybe accept that they're building something, accept that, you know, there's a lot of young players in that team that will hopefully continue to develop and get better. But yeah, I think it's any success is a long way off for Leicestershire just yet, unfortunately.
Yeah, it appears to be that way, to be honest, in the Red Bull format. But again, I mention this all the time, and I do like the project down at Grace Rose. I really do. I think they've got some fantastic young players. We saw one of them this week in Rian Ahmed, and I just wanted to say congratulations to Rian, actually, because he was the 500th player in Leicestershire's history to appear in the county championship. A great stat for a very special player, and I have no doubt that he'll go on to do great things in Red Bull and white ball cricket, for not just the county, but also, fingers crossed, for England in the future as well. But there is talent here, and I don't agree with people who say they're absolutely terrible and they're not worthy of county cricket. This Leicestershire side last year showed a lot of fights. They showed a lot of grit. They showed a lot of guts. In particular, I think of the Surrey game. That just comes to mind straight away. But the problem with this project, unlike the one down in Sussex, it doesn't seem to be going anywhere in first-class cricket. And I was actually thinking about this. I've been talking about this since 2020. I've been talking for three back-to-back-to-back seasons now about the bowling attack, because you've got Chris Wright and Callum Parkinson. Parky is now the new captain, and it's always on those two. Now, don't get me wrong, Ben Mike has done a very, very good job of taking wickets in 2022, so I'd maybe throw his name into the hat as well in terms of those main contributors. Vian Morda took four wickets in this particular game, but conceded a lot of runs. What Leicestershire need in terms of recruitment is someone to build the pressure, because that's not happening at the moment. If you look at their wicket takers, they are taking wickets in little bunches here and there, but they're going at 3.54 runs and over, which in this division, if you're not striking consistently, you're going to go for a lot of runs. It's as simple as that. They have got to get, you know, I mentioned Ian Holland earlier, and I mentioned his economy rate, building the pressure up for Hampshire. Another great example of this last year for Warwickshire was Will Rhodes. They need a workhorse. That's what they need. And that would be top of my transfer list for the Foxes heading into 2023. You need someone, a bit like they used to have with Ben Rain, someone who just comes in, bowls those few overs, and keeps things under control, which allows for the likes of Chris Wright and Callum Parkinson and Ben Mike to go and do their thing. But then again, I suppose, aside from the bowling, the batting hasn't been great either. And on this surface, although Worcestershire bowled well, in particular, I thought Dylan Pennington, I thought Ed Barnard and Josh Baker bowled very well in this particular game, they should have been scoring a lot more than 148 and 170. So for the Foxes, looks like a pretty poor season in first-class cricket. Fortunately, they do have a good side in both the T20 Blast and the Royal London One Day Cup. But I would be interested to find out the results of the review that the club are having, funnily enough, this week at Grace Road, to find out the general consensus and the feeling amongst the members, to see if they're happy with how the first-class format is going, to be honest, for the club at the moment. I do feel sorry for them, though. I do like Leicestershire. I've got a soft spot for them, always have, but yeah, things need to improve, to be honest, on the field for the East Midlands County. But talking of a county which were absolutely sensational this week, Worcestershire County Cricket Club, Matt. And in particular, two players just jump off the page straight away. Jack Haynes, he scored 127, his third back-to-back-to-back first-class century. Absolutely elated for Jack. Great player, lovely bloke, great temperament, great class, great attitude. Absolutely chuffed for him. And great to see him back in the runs yet again in this game. And then Azhar Ali, who out of nowhere, after a really slow start to the summer, he had that comical run out in one of the earlier rounds. He scored 225 in this game and just set it up fantastically. So Matt, if you could, just a couple of words on those two players. How impressed were you with their performances in round seven?
Incredibly so. I mean, Jack Haynes just... What's he had for breakfast over the last few days, over the last couple of weeks? I mean, yeah, this is the thing, isn't it? This is such a thing in cricket. When you get into your rhythm and you find that thing that works for you, you can just profit immensely. And, you know, the thing is, well, he's not getting out for 101, 103. He's not getting there and then just getting out. He's pushing on, you know, he's got 127. He's getting these big score that drive an innings forward. And, you know, obviously, I mean, everybody profited, didn't they, in this innings? And maybe, I suppose, you can ask questions of the bowlers. Yes. Of the quality of the bowling attack, Chris Wright, like you said, I mean, I won't go into it all over again, but you've highlighted the inconsistencies in Leicestershire's bowling attack. But, yeah, I mean, he is... You can only hit what's in front of you, can't you? And he is hitting it with panache and with aplomb and quite brilliantly. I was a little bit... It's a bit strange as well because I saw him bat against Notts last season at Trent Bridge and he looked... I thought, what's this fella doing? He doesn't look comfortable. He doesn't look like a batter. And clearly, over the winter, he has made 100-fold improvement to his technique, hasn't he? Because he's just reaping the rewards unbelievably now. And Azhar Ali's the complete opposite of that, isn't he? He's just been doing it for years. He's a fantastic international professional. He did it down at Somerset, didn't he? And now he's doing it for Worcestershire. And yeah, he's superb. He wasn't even fazed by getting hit in the unmentionables halfway through his innings either, was he? So, credit all round.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I'm really happy for Azhar Ali. Again, I do like him. I thought he was absolutely class for Pakistan as their captain as well, both on and off the field. Been in county cricket for a while with Somerset as well. Good to see him back, and I'm very, very happy for him, to say the least. And someone else I must say, delighted for, is Matt Waits from your county of Yorkshire, funnily enough, Matt. He's come in on a two-week loan for the Pears as an injury replacement or injury substitute almost for the next 2 weeks for Joe Leach, who's unfortunately out injured. But 2 for 15 and 4 for 35 across both innings. I saw a lot of calls on social media for the club to prolong that loan spell. So who knows?
I honestly wouldn't be against it. I mean, I think Matt Waits is... I'll try not to wang on about this for too long, but I wouldn't be against it at all. I don't want to lose him permanently, but I would not be against making that loan spell until the end of extend it to the end of the season, because the bloke deserves first team cricket. He's brilliant. He's consistent. He's likable as well. He goes about his game in the right way, and he deserves a chance. I mean, he's deserved a chance with Yorkshire for about 2 or 3 years now, but he's just can never quite seem to be able to break into the team. He's always 12 man. He's always around the team, but then he's always carrying the drinks or doing the subfielding or something like that. But yeah, he deserves his shot. You know, we need to give him a chance. And if we're not going to do it, then let another county do it. Don't obviously let another county do it to the extent that they're going to sign him on a 3-year contract, but let Worcestershire do it for the rest of the season. And, you know, if we've now got, I mean, Harris Ralph's gone, hasn't he? But if we're getting maybe David Willey back from the IPL and he's going to play a little bit of red ball, if our injury fears are going to ease a little bit and he's not necessarily going to be in amongst the team, then yeah, let him go temporarily.
I was about to say, yeah, I'm judging by that response, Matt. You don't want him to go permanently at all.
Not but at all.
Again, a great piece of business from the Pears. It paid off in quite brilliant fashion. And yeah, shout out to Matt Waite. I thought he was absolutely brilliant on Worcestershire debut. And yes, we'll be keeping a close eye, Worcester fans, to see if he does extend that loan beyond the initial 2-week stint. But as a result of those three games then in Division 2, let's have a look at the table heading into the conclusion of the seventh round. And as we've already alluded to, Middlesex County Cricket Club are currently at the pinnacle of Division 2 on 116 points. In second are Nottinghamshire on 107 points. In third are Worcestershire on 90 points. In fourth are Durham on 84 points. In fifth are Derbyshire on 84 points. In sixth are Glamorgan on 81 points. In seventh are Sussex on 53 points. And bottom of Division 2 are Leicestershire County Cricket Club on 46 points. Now, as is tradition, as is customary here on the podcast, we don't, of course, just look at the Division 2 and the Division 1 tables. We do, of course, have our cricket draft table to look at as well. And I said it last week, didn't I, Matt? I was going to have a good week. And we finally did. We rose 6 places from 78th to 72nd in our league. But at the end of round 7, at the top of the TCCP Cricket Draft Fantasy League, we've got MJS11, captained by Matt Sharp, on 12,838 points. In second, a fine leg CC, captained by Matt France, on 12,273 points. And in third, spelt backwards, reverse swing, captained by John Mitchell, are on 12,205 points. So, as is the case in Division 1 and Division 2, it's all very much to play for in the TCCP Fantasy Cricket League in 2022. But Matt, that basically brings us to an end to what's been another brilliant show here at the Counter Cricket Podcast. I've loved every single minute of it. And I must say, the games this week were really of very, very high quality. I think we'll be remembering this round of fixtures for a very, very long time to come. We've seen some great individual performances, some excellent team performances. And yeah, I just hope that everybody who was at the grounds this week just enjoyed themselves. You know, the sun was out, weather was quite nice. We saw some fantastic cricket up and down the country. It's just a shame now that we do have the T20 Blast block in a way, because it is going to break up the schedule slightly. But then again, we have, of course, got the T20 Blast review shows to look forward to. So at the same time, looking forward to that. Fingers crossed that the Bears can put together some decent performances. And who knows, we shall have to wait and see who emerges victorious in that comp heading into the summer of 2022. But that is it from us two here at TCCP for today's episode. To all of you wonderful listeners out there, thank you very much for tuning in. And as always, guys, we'll see you on the next one.